You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, April 8th show. I provide you the news on everything money, fresh information on market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can talk with the guests that I have in studio by calling the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Alan Parker with 360 Credit Consulting, and we're going to have a conversation around credit and common credit reporting errors. Alan, thank you so much for joining me in studio.
Thank you very much for having me, Tina.
And a shout out as well from my existing clients to say thank you for doing my Family Finance and Future online meetup. That was really great to have you educate my my clients.
Absolutely. No problem at all. Anytime.
And a little bit about Alan. Alan is a certified credit consultant that has been in the industry for 5 years. Professionally, he has been in customer service background for many years, so putting his clients first comes naturally. Alan has worked in hospitality and retail industry before getting involved in the credit world. He understands that credit is complicated, very complicated subject, and his goal is to make clarity out of every confusing credit situation. Alan takes pride in being able to help his clients get on the right path financially. And I love that, Alan, because I know as well as you that getting on the right path financially starts out with credit, because everything that we do, credit plays a lot of times a big factor in that. So again, our conversation today, credit and common credit reporting errors. So what are the most common errors found on credit reports, Alan?
Well, the most common errors that we tend to see on a lot of our clients' credit reports, 80% of credit reports, in fact, have these common errors featured on them. The errors that I'm talking about are duplications, which is the same thing listed twice or even more than twice on someone's credit file. In fact, the specific accounts that we do see duplications on are student loan accounts as well as medical collections that we more frequently see duplicated reported items on the credit report. Other items that we tend to see a lot is identity theft errors, identity fraud errors, basically, which means that anything that does not belong to the client on the credit report that was featured accidentally due to a identity theft issue. Any type of divorce-related issue, which means that anything that goes against the divorce decree that directly contradicts the divorce decree featured on their credit report. Bankruptcy filing errors. Over 70% of bankruptcies
that's
are filed.
Crazy.
Yes, absolutely. 70% of bankruptcies are filed incorrectly with the credit bureaus. And those are items that we put in through a fine-tooth comb, and we make sure that we cleaned up and the reporting accurately on our clients' credit files.
Yeah.
Identity errors is the one I almost forgot to mention. Identity errors is one of the biggest errors that we tend to see on our clients' credit files. It basically is a mistake made on the credit bureau's behalf. The credit bureaus are having trouble deciphering who's who. So, for instance, if your name is John Smith and you live in the Seattle area, for instance, or any type of large metropolitan area, chances of there being other John Smiths in the area are significantly higher. And so I can only imagine how many John Smiths there are in the Seattle area.
Sure.
And so another John Smith could be featured on your own credit file, for instance, therefore having an unnecessary detriment to your overall credit score and your credit health, basically.
Yeah. So, Alan, let's talk about these errors and the cost to your credit score. I mean, what type of impact do these have?
Sure. So the cost of your credit score overall on average is going to cost you about 15 to 20 points on your overall credit score. But the exact number, that it's affecting your credit score overall could depend on the other particulars featured on your credit file as well.
Yeah.
It could depend on your length of credit history and things like that, and what the other particulars are that go into the algorithm that's used to calculate your current score.
So, Alan, with your company and the numerous errors, and I know being in the mortgage space, I have clients that all of those things that you listed are very common. So in working with your company, how can you help get these removed?
Absolutely. So what we're doing is we're filing personalized investigations on every negative account featured on their credit file. And basically, anything that cannot be verified directly to the client that we are investigating will get removed off of the credit file, meaning that the credit bureaus cannot supply the necessary documentation that we are requesting to verify that particular negative account reporting on their own credit file. If they cannot, provide 100% of the documentation that we are requesting, then by law, those items must get removed from the credit file. And of course, upon the removal, their credit score will increase because of it.
Yeah.
And so that, basically, we operate under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Everything we do has to do with the FCRA. Basically states that every credit report out there must be 100% accurate and cannot be misleading in any way, shape, or form. And that's what we are here to ensure.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because a lot of consumers don't know that there is the FCRA and the Fair Credit Act for them. And I always say, put the burden back on the creditor.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so a lot of those things are removed. It's kind of just like a speeding ticket. You know, if
sure.
you take your speeding ticket to court, chances are there's a high percentage that speeding ticket's going to be erased. And it's not because you weren't doing that activity, but because instead of the way that ticket was issued. So
sure.
I love that.
I use that example quite frequently.
Yes. Well, we must be on the
yes.
same page. Here. So, Alan, how often do you see credit reports that feature these errors?
80% of the credit
yeah.
reports that I look at have these errors
That's
that
crazy.
Are featured on them in different amounts, of course. Someone who tends to have a multitude of derogatory content, it tends to have more errors on their file.
Yes.
It really does depend on what type of accounts that they're holding, what type of accounts that are closed and sitting stagnant on their file, depending on what type of errors
mm-hmm.
We will be able to find on someone's credit file.
So let's shift over to Credit Karma and a lot of these consumer reports, which are really great for consumers to be able to get access to quickly and free to what's happening with their credit. But what most consumers don't understand is when it comes to getting a mortgage, those reports, the scores can be drastically
sure,
different. So
sure.
can you explain and share why that is?
Sure. Yeah, it's no problem. Credit Karma is an online scoring model. Okay, so they use completely different set of scoring algorithms, if you will, to calculate the consumer's updated credit score currently. There's 52 different algorithms out there. Now, only 8 of those 52 algorithms are approved specifically for use in the mortgage industry.
Yes.
None of those scoring algorithms are used on Credit Karma. And so FICO is the one that generates these scoring algorithms, and none of those scoring algorithms are used on Credit Karma. Credit Karma uses a completely different scoring system called Vantage. I'm not sure if the listeners out there have heard of Vantage, but it's a company very similar to FICO, but they use a completely different scoring model system. So for instance, on Credit Karma, your score can go from 500 all the way up to 990.
Yeah.
In the mortgage industry, your score can go from a 300 all the way up to an 850.
Yep.
And so it's a completely different scoring model. Vantage scoring system, they have an A, B, C, D, F scoring system. And so you can either have an A rating for your credit score or you know, B, C, D, F
uh-huh.
on your scoring system. In FICO, you can go from poor all the way to excellent,
yeah.
you know, depending on what your score is. And so any lender out there, no one will ever accept a Credit Karma score that mm-hmm. a client would bring into their office. In order for the lender to make a reasonable decision on their lending decision, they have to use whatever their middle score is on their own reporting agency's
yeah.
file that they pull from on their tri-merge report.
Yeah. So the question would be, why is this? I mean, why don't they just have one algorithm that is used through? Well, and I guess I can answer that question partially because there are different risk factors for mortgage than there are for credit cards because there's different algorithms that
sure.
are going to be used for applying for a credit card than applying for a mortgage.
Sure, and sure.
So I guess I just answered my own question. But
Excellent.
Is that correct, Alan?
Absolutely.
In that, the reason why is because there's all these different that they look at what the statistics are of risk, and that's
exactly.
why those algorithms are like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some different algorithms, especially online scoring models, are
uh-huh.
going to take different bits and pieces of information into consideration when they're calculating that particular consumer's credit score at
yes.
that time. You know, on Credit Karma, they want your credit score to look big, you know, just because of all the marketing and sponsorships that they have. And so basically every single nine
wow.
times out of 10, your credit score is always going to be bigger on Credit Karma versus in a mortgage industry poll.
So here you go to our listeners out there. It's really great so that you can see what's going on with your credit report, but not so great mm-hmm. if you're looking for that actual credit score.
You know, yeah, and let me clarify. Credit Karma is a great way to monitor your credit.
Yes.
It's a great way to get a good understanding of where your credit currently sits.
Yes.
Because keep in mind, your credit score today is not what your credit score is going to be tomorrow.
Yes.
And so that's a very important piece of information for the consumers out there to realize.
Yeah.
And so It's just a completely different set of scoring algorithms that are used on online versus in the mortgage industry.
Yes.
In the mortgage industry, there's only 8 specific scoring models that are used to generate a tri-merge report for a prospective borrower.
Yeah, interesting. So, Alan, how are credit cards calculated in your credit score?
Yeah, sure. So credit cards make up 30% of your overall credit score. So basically, that's how important credit cards are. Out of 100% of the different sections that make up your credit score in the mortgage industry specifically, 30% of that is just your revolving accounts. And so that's how important credit cards are. And so if you have no credit cards whatsoever, you're missing out on 30% of your total score potential.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one credit card, that one credit card is solely responsible for 30% of your scoring potential. The more credit cards you have, it gets divided up evenly. So two, each of them are worth 10%. If you have two, each of them are worth 15%.
Yeah.
And three, each of them are worth 10, so on and so forth. And so it's a big window. It's a big look into how reliable you are prospective lending decision.
Yeah. Everybody knows paying your bills late obviously have a negative impact on your credit score. What a lot of people may not know is you actually have to reach that 30 days before it actually is going to get calculated or sent to the credit bureaus. But how does delinquent accounts calculate into your overall credit score?
Well, delinquent accounts is unique because any delinquent accounts that we're talking about, any accounts with late payments on them,
mm-hmm.
collection accounts, whether it be a regular collection account or a medical collection, foreclosures, repossessions, any type of public record like a bankruptcy, tax lien, or judgment, those are unique because they're also inclusive in the payment history section mm-hmm. on your credit report, which makes up 35% of your total credit score potential. So, your payment history section makes up 35%. It's the largest section that makes up your credit score potential. Anything you make payments on, credit cards, student loans, mortgages, mm-hmm. auto loans, goes into that section as well. But it's also inclusive of your derogatory content. All the derogatory accounts that I just listed, bankruptcies, all the way up to late payments are also inclusive in that section as well. And so any late payment, anything like that, could be severely detrimental to your overall credit mm-hmm. score.
So share about length of credit history and the importance of that when it comes to your credit score.
Absolutely. So your length of credit history is the average of all of your open and active mm-hmm. accounts. And so let's say you have one credit card and that's the only type of account that you have on your file. That means you have, and you've had that credit card open for 20 years. That means you have 20 years of credit history mm-hmm. For that particular account. Now, let's say, during Christmas time, consumers out there, they open up different departmental store credit cards. They go to Macy's. Macy's says you will save you 40% if you mm-hmm. on your initial purchase if you open up a brand new account with us. It's a very attractive offer. A lot of our clients do that, but what they don't understand is that as soon as you open up a brand new account, that's going to affect the credit history that you've already established.
Yes.
And so, for instance, let's say you have two credit cards open for the last 20 years, and they're both in good standing. And during Christmas time, you open up a Macy's card, a Kohl's card, and a Target card. What they don't understand is that that's affecting your overall length of credit history that you've already established, and it's going to be severely reduced. So instead of 20 mm-hmm. years of credit history, now you have somewhere around 8 or 9 years of credit history because of the ratio of open and active accounts that you have open.
Yeah. And I tell people it's so important that you need to consult with an expert before you do anything on credit, because there are things that you can do that you can't fix. And the worst thing would be closing an account that's over 2 years. Never close the accounts out, because once you've closed out that account that has that history, you can't reestablish it until you gain that history back. So
Absolutely.
It can be devastating that you can't fix that.
Exactly.
So what happens to your credit when you open new accounts? So I know you talked a little bit about that, but let's talk about the impact on that.
So as soon as you open up a brand new account, that goes into the new credit section in your mm-hmm. overall credit score potential, which makes up 10% of your total score potential. And so you can lose points in this category, in this section, based on one of two categories. As soon as you open up a brand new account, your points are going to be reduced because FICO wants to see how you deal with these brand new debt obligations.
Yes.
And so let's say you open up a brand new credit card. That credit card may not report for at least 90 days because you're on this probationary period. They want to see how you're going to use this account, whether or not you're going to spend it responsibly. Are you going to max out the card? Are you going to make your payments on time?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to stay 30% or less of your debt to limit ratio in that specific account? If that account's in good standing after 90 days, you will see it pushed through, and it will come into consideration on your credit report and get calculated into your updated score.
Yes. Okay. So to wrap up my time with you, Alan, Is it possible to get a perfect credit score?
The perfect credit score, I believe, is a myth.
I know. I've never seen one.
Especially in the mortgage industry.
I've seen close, but...
Sure. Yeah, I've seen close as well. But, you know, in the mortgage industry, the best score you can possibly achieve is an 850.
Uh-huh.
I personally have never seen an 850 on paper.
I have never.
You know?
I haven't either.
And some of the parameters that are that FICO wants to see someone have to even get close to having a perfect credit score out there, they're talking they want you to have two or three installment accounts, about a 20-year average history that are about 95% or more paid down.
Yeah.
On the other half, they want you to see about three revolving accounts, average length of credit history of 20 years apiece, with 1% utilization or less.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe I don't even think my grandparents have that.
And the perfect ratio.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
The perfect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even, you know, if you go to apply for an auto loan, you go apply for a mortgage loan or apply for a credit card, those are all three hard hits on your credit on your credit score. And so that inquiry could cost you anywhere between 2 and 10 points, something like that. And so once you pull your credit
report, there goes
that perfect credit score. So you'll never see that on paper.
Yeah.
So the perfect credit score is a myth.
Yeah, nice way to end the show.
Yes.
Alan, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate your time and look forward to having you back in studio again soon.
Tina, anytime. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Coming up next to the Money Hour, more about credit. We're going to talk about credit myths with Scott Schaaf with SW Group Credit Repair right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.